Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh, and with me now, SDPB's Gary Ellenbolt. You know him as the host of Morning Edition and the voice of so many of the South Dakota State High School sports as well. He spent some time at the State Girls Championships. Gary, welcome to In the Moment.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Kind of a marathon stretch as we get to do this again tomorrow as we preview the boys tournament, don't we?
We can never get enough Gary Ellenbolt. So are you exhausted? Did you make it through? Or does this sort of thing kind of fuel you and give you energy? Or is it something you have to, you know, eat your Wheaties for every morning?
Well, I enjoy this so much that it's it's not a lot of burden for me to do it. Sometimes there get to be late nights when I'm filing stories here or updating statistics or figuring out who's covering what game or who's injured or that sort of thing. But it's one of those labor of love things, and it's 24 games in 9 days, so there's a little bit of labor involved, but mostly love, just fun to watch some of the most talented athletes in South Dakota get put through their paces on a statewide and national and worldwide stage now with the games that we stream, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, so before we get to some of the results and the highlights, tell me a little bit about what the energy is like for those girls as they get hyped up and excited and ready to go.
Well, the first round, you know, everybody's 0-0. Everybody has a chance, conceivably, at the state championship. If you win the game, you head to the semifinals. You pretty much needed a shoehorn to get into the Huron Arena for the semifinal game on Friday night, or for the semifinal games, I should say. There was Warner taking on Sanborn Central Woonsocket, a couple of teams and schools that travel very well. Sanborn Central in Forestburg, just down the road from Huron, so it's an easy trip for them. And Sully Buttes and Ethan in that other game. That was a game that had been the state championship the last couple of years. Won by Ethan a couple of years ago. Sully Buttes won the title game last year, and they were able to win the semifinal game really in dramatic fashion and set up a terrific tournament championship game between Ethan and Sanborn Central Woonsocket. If you're on the right side of the bracket, the energy stays at a pretty good level. If you're on the left side, you play in the consolation round. You still have something to play for. You can play back for as high as fifth place in the tournament. The crowds aren't as big. It's a game that's at 12 noon, the first game, 1:45 the second, as opposed to playing in the night test. So maybe there's a little bit of edge off. But something I noticed last weekend at the tournaments in Huron, you didn't see any slowdown, any wear down, any edge taken off of any of the teams. Timberlake remained scrappy and aggressive, had that in-your-face defense. New Underwood had an awful lot of weapons, including a couple of really nice post players. And then Parker and Avon played in the second semifinal game. You just have to shake off the disappointment, play the best you can, and see what kind of weapons you can put against the other team. And then Parker and New Underwood had that fifth place game, what they call a consolation championship in South Dakota, and New Underwood ended up winning. The seventh place game went to Avon over Timberlake. Warner and Ethan played for third, with Ethan the winner, and then Sully Buttes won the state title. Just a great game against the Sanborn Central Woonsocket Blackhawks.
And that Sully Buttes, as I remember, was sort of who you anticipated would have a strong showing in this tournament.
Sully Buttes actually the number two seed, and that was something that was fraught with a little bit of eyebrow raising, shall we say, in Huron, because Sully Buttes was the number two seed. Eight teams, you go on a point system in South Dakota, depending on who you've beaten, what class they're in, that sort of thing, their overall record. Sully Buttes had beaten Warner, and fairly handily, in the regular season. Warner had also lost to Sanborn Central Woonsocket in the course of the year. Warner was the number one seed because they had higher power points, because they had played competition with better records throughout the regular season. Sully Buttes, maybe with a little bit to prove, and they came down from the Agar, Blount, and Oneida areas and were able to win the state championship. Had three exciting basketball games. They had a lot of people who stepped up exactly at the second they needed to. Raquel Wenches had a great Friday night session. There was Rachel Guthmiller, who played very well on Friday night. Of course, Chloe Lamb. It was Chloe Lamb. She had a terrific state tournament as well. and winning the state championship with the rest of her team. Chloe Lamb, of course, will take her talents to the Sanford Coyote Sports Center in just a few months. She will be playing for Dawn Plitzewicz's University of South Dakota squad.
I've certainly heard her name a lot, so maybe I'm not done hearing her name now, and that's a good thing.
Well, you know, I don't know if you follow the NBA much, Laura, the National Basketball Association, but there is a style of defense. It's still called this, even though Shaquille O'Neal, who's out of professional basketball, was called Hack-a-Shaq.
Okay.
Hack-a-Shaq was something where the guy couldn't shoot free throws to save his life.
Right.
And so you would foul him, get him to the free throw line, almost certain to miss, and then you'd have a chance at getting the rebound. Now, Chloe Lamb is a much better free throw shooter than Shaquille O'Neal ever was or could ever hope to be. But I was thinking somebody should come up with a defense instead of Hack-a-Shaq, you'd call it Lamb Chop.
Oh, nice. I should have seen that one coming. I should have known.
I'm disappointed you did. Let me put it there.
I'm getting rusty, Gary. All right. So any other athletes that sort of stepped up and, you know, rose, you know, did a little more than maybe we expected them to do? Who stands out there?
Well, somebody who did as expected was Maya Selland. She is from Sanborn Central Woonsocket. She is the top photo on the cover of the South Dakota Public Broadcasting magazine that our members get. And she had a terrific tournament. She led in just about every offensive category except for two going into the Saturday session. And I think she might have lost the lead in a couple of those. But the leading scorer of the tournament, she ended up with 30 points the first night.
Wow.
And that's a really nice effort against New Underwood. Came back and ended up with 71 points for the tournament to be the leading scorer. Mark Sefner, the head coach at Sully Buttes, had just a terrific game plan against Sanborn Central Woonsocket, played great defense, kind of tired out the young ladies from the opposing squad, the Sanborn Central Woonsocket Blackhawks. She still managed, Maya Selland still managed to get 23 points, but you could tell that it was a very hard-fought 23 points as she played in that championship game. It seemed like every team had a performer who really played well. New Underwood, listen for that name in the future, because they have a couple of eighth graders who looked terrific in the tournament. One was Carrington Jones, great bloodlines. Her mom was a four-sport athlete in Montana, and her dad was a track standout, a very good runner. She was part of a 1,600-meter relay championship. You'll be hearing her name for a long time for New Underwood's Tigers and Stacy Finkbeiner's squad. They also had another eighth grader named Lexi Ballard, who was responsible for bringing the ball up the floor most of the time. Pretty good score, good defense, that sort of thing. That may be the team to watch over the next few years coming out of West River. Timberlake had Sydney Mettler, who has the bloodline there because her sister, older sister, Christy Mettler, one of the top players in South Dakota a few years ago. Lauren Cease from Avon had a very nice tournament. And also you look at Sanborn Central Woonsocket with Maya Selland and some great players, Tristan Zebart, and they had Kayla Olson and a few others who played some really great basketball for them. There were a lot of very good individual performances. A team that had a strong team concept on defense. If somebody gets by you for a basket, it's not, okay, you let that girl get by you. The philosophy with the Chargers is, well, what can we do to make sure that person with the ball doesn't get by this person again? What can we do to help her out?
Gary, tell me about the Spirit of Six Awards, Spirit of Sioux Awards. Explain those to me.
Those are a couple of awards that are given out in memory. Well, the Spirit of Sioux, we'll go first with that. That is an award to the cheerleading team that is judged to be the best in terms of sportsmanship, knowledge of the game, appearance, helpfulness, that sort of thing. And I've actually a spirit thing. That's named after six Rapid City High School cheerleaders who were killed in a plane crash coming back from the state tournament in the late 1960s. And then a few years after that, the Fraternal Order of Police, the police association in the state, did come up with that Spirit of Six Award. That goes to the best cheerleading team. That went to Ethan High School at the tournament I covered in the B tournament. And then the Spirit of Sioux Award is named for Sioux Ann Big Crow, who's one of the best basketball players in state of South Dakota history. She played at Pine Ridge, had an incredible future, really stressed the togetherness aspect of basketball, that everybody could live together, work together through basketball. And unfortunately, Sioux Ann Big Crow was killed on the way to pick up a Miss Basketball Award at the state awards banquet. And then a little bit after that, the Spirit of Sioux, which is SU, Spirit of Sioux Award, given to the best player who exemplifies the things that Sioux Ann Big Crow stood for. And Maya Selland of Sanborn Central Woonsocket was the winner, not just for her outstanding basketball work, but her work in the classroom and also her leadership abilities in the Forestburg, Alpena, Woonsocket communities and that sort of thing. And those are given out at every tournament. Best cheerleading squad getting the Spirit of Six, and the outstanding player, not just from a basketball standpoint, is the winner in the Spirit of Sioux competition.
So Maya Selland there again. Now, did she and Chloe Lamb match up against each other? Did they have games together?
They played in the championship game.
Yes, okay. Tell me about that matchup.
Maya Selland with Sanborn Central Woonsocket and Chloe Lamb with Sully Buttes. They met in the title game around 8 o'clock on Saturday night. Maya Selland, of course, coming off very good scoring performances, and she did get her points. She got 23 in the losing effort against Sully Buttes. But again, the defensive plan was so good. There was always somebody that who was guarding Selland, and she had her troubles shooting every once in a while. It was very physical in that aspect, to the point where Selland and the rest of the Blackhawk girls were really pretty fatigued by the time the third quarter came around. And then Selland ended up with four fouls very late in the game, and that forced her to play a little bit on the tentative side. Again, with five fouls, you have to leave the ball game. But she ended up with four, and again, that was about 3 or 4 minutes left. While she played hard, she had to be a little tentative, a little more careful. And again, that was the game plan of Sully Buttes, able to take her not exactly out of the game, but there were a few things that she likes to do that she's capable of doing on the court that kind of, thanks to Sully Buttes, weren't available to her on Saturday night.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the girls' state basketball Class B results. My guest is Gary Allenbold. Gary, how about that Class A? St. Thomas More is on the top, right?
St. Thomas More won the tournament. It was kind of a bittersweet victory for the Cavalier girls. They have a Division I recruit in Drew Gilton, who is committed to play to at the University of Utah. Fourth straight year they've had a player go Division I. And she suffered a knee injury with about 3 minutes gone in their semifinal game against Webster. And was scheduled for an MRI, which is to determine, you know, what tendons, ligaments, etc. She might have injured in the knee. And that usually might be ACL, anterior cruciate ligament, might be the MCL, the medial collateral ligament, or it might be the little, that's a donut-shaped piece of cartilage, I guess, called the meniscus. And nobody is exactly sure what she had injured. She did dress in the team uniform for the game, but she was on crutches and had a pretty good-sized leg brace. So it was pretty certain she was not going to play in the championship. Lennox was the opponent. Lennox had defeated Del Rapids and Vermilion from their very same conference to get to the championship game. The Orioles really stayed with St. Thomas More for a good stretch of the game, but St. Thomas More able to pull away in the second half. They had a big run in the third period, and St. Thomas More wins its fourth consecutive Class A state championship. That was done at Frost Arena in Brookings. And it seems like Brandon Candelin, who's the head coach at St. Thomas More, just kind of reloads instead of rebuilds. He's got the philosophy there of, you know, once you're a Cavalier, you're always a Cavalier. They have raised such people as Alexis Sweetland, who is playing at Washington State. Kara Duffy and her sister Caitlin, who played at the University of South Dakota. Maura Duffy played in Division II at the University of Sioux Falls. So they've got the talent. They play hard. They play together. They've done it for a long time. And once again, even with an important cog in that machine not available to them, they were able to take care of themselves together and win another A title.
All right, Gary, we got about 30 seconds left. How about that Hamlin team? I was watching them. How'd they do?
The Hamlin Chargers were coming as the number 2 seed. They were upset in the first round by Vermilion, and then Hamlin was able to go to play Del Rapids and got the win in the consolation semifinals. So, yeah, certainly a disappointing weekend for the Chargers. They had a very good track record, but you know, sometimes the seventh seed can get it together and defeat the number 2, and that's what happened there as Vermilion went to the right side of the bracket and Hamlin to the consolation round. But a great year for the Chargers and a great year for all these teams. Not right. Everybody gets to state. They just don't hand out trips to the state tournament and Cracker Jack. So it's really a good and a special thing when you get there. And, of course, tomorrow we'll talk about all the boys' tournaments coming up as well. 3 boys' tournaments and the AA girls will play in Rapid City as well. We can discuss that on Tuesday.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, Gary Ellenbolt. Thanks for being here.
Not a problem. Thank you.